First Samuel, chapter 30. And we want to look at verses 1 through 8. Amen. And the word of God reads as follows. On the third day, David and his men arrived in Ziklag. And the Amalekites had attacked the people of the Negev desert. And they also had attacked Ziklag and burned it. They had captured the women and everyone else who was in Ziklag. They had taken as prisoners young people and old alike, but they didn't kill any of them. Instead, they carried them off and they went on their way. And David and his men came to Ziklag, and they saw that it had been destroyed by fire. And they found out that their wives and their children had been captured. So David and his men began to cry out loud, and they cried until they couldn't cry anymore. David's two wives had been captured, and their names were Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail from Carmel. And David was greatly troubled, and his men were even talking about killing him or throwing stones at him. And all of them were bitter because their sons and daughters had been taken away. But David was made strong by the Lord his God. Then David spoke to the priest, and he said, "Bring me the linen apron." And Abiathar brought it to him, and David asked the Lord for advice. And he said, "Should I chase after the men who have attacked Ziklag? And if I do, will I catch them?" And the Lord said, "Chase after them, and you will certainly catch up with them, and you will succeed in saving those who have been captured." And this morning I want to use for a subject, taking back what the devil stole from me. Taking back what the devil stole from me. When we sit today and we recall familiar scripture, we can look in John 10:10, and he will tell us that the enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. And previously the choir sung, "Victory is mine." And they sung, "Happiness is mine and peace is mine," but some of us are not able to sing along with that song because victory is not yours. Peace is not yours. Happiness is not yours. Quit playing the game with me. It's all because you're not able to sing because the devil has taken it from you. Amen. See, when we look at the word here, it's mandated that we should take back what the enemy has stolen from us. And what that means is we've got to first understand, what has the enemy taken from me? See, when you can't smile, that means you have no joy. When everything that everybody else does is wrong, and you can't ever find anything good to say, that means that the devil has taken something from you that God gave you that you're supposed to have. When you can't smile, that means that there's something going on the inside, And obviously the enemy has taken your peace. But see, when we look at our text here, it gives us a perfect example as to how we should rightfully take back what belongs to us. When we read this story, we find where David and his men have returned home from a battle. And when they get there, they find that their community has been burned. Their wives have been taken. Their children have been taken. But even in the midst of their trials, when we look in verse 6, we find where David encouraged himself in the Lord. And it was, and he prayed for some instructions. And when problems and trials come in our lives, we ought to take the time to pray, because God truly answers prayer. See, God answered him with the words that we find in verse 8, and God simply told him, chase after them that took what was yours, and you shall recover it all. And see, I like this text because it symbolizes the power that we ought to have through Jesus Christ. See, we ought to have power not only just to save those that are lost, but we ought to have power to recover or to take back the things that the enemy has taken from us. See, here we ought to be able to recover everything because of what Jesus did at Calvary. See, some of us think that he only died for us to have eternal life, but he died that we might have power. And I hope this morning in our lives that Christ didn't die in vain. See, the first reason that he died was he died to remove what sin delivered. See, we got to understand that what Adam did in the Garden of Eden makes us all stand guilty and condemned. But the word says that through Jesus Christ, we are justified by his grace. And see, the power of sin alienated or separated us from having fellowship with God. And what happens is, it's impossible for God to dwell in the midst of sin. And see, there are some consequences to sin, and I found out that sin will deliver some things in our lives. Sin will deliver separation, and separation is when you reach a point that God can't hear you when you're talking to him. Psalm 66, and we discover that he said that if there's iniquity in our heart, that he will not hear us. And what happens is, the devil will take away your ability to be able to communicate with God. Then sin will deliver reprobation. We got some folk with some reprobate minds in here. See, reprobation means that God will reject us and we're not in the right state to be called his children. And when you're in a state of reprobation, that simply means that the enemy has taken away part of your inheritance. Now, if I went in your pocket this morning and took out every penny that belonged to you, you would be ready to fight me, amen. But right now, the devil comes into our lives and robs us of our relationships with Christ, and we sit on our butts and do nothing. And once you reach the state of reprobation, sin will soon deliver damnation. Now, I hate to tell you, folk, you're either blessed or you're cursed. But through Christ's death, the power of sin over us should be removed, because Paul tells us that there is therefore no condemnation. This is Romans chapter 8. It says, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now what happens is, when the devil allows your walk to be affected, that makes you become ineffective, which means in turn, the devil has taken something away from you that God rightly gave you. Now look at our text here. We find that the enemy has taken things that were very dear to David and his men. And today, the enemy is taking things that are very dear to you and I. In other words, what happened was the actions of Adam placed us or delivered us into the hands of the enemy and into the power of sin. And right now, we ought to be able to recover our relationship and our position in God through Christ Jesus. But right now, we have allowed the devil to come and take things that are so precious to us. And see, when sin corrupts you, not only will it deliver some things to you, but see, Christ's death will renew the things that sin deform. When I look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it simply says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. In other words, he says, all things are passed away. In other words, and all things become new. And what happens is, when in the fall of man, sin deformed us. In other words, sin will cause you to look at things in a different light. Sin will change even your persona. What happens is, sin changes the way that God looks at you. Amen. And see, when we're in a deformed state, that means that we're not in the state that God made us. And when we're in a deformed state, that means that the devil has taken our identity. We see, we talk about in this day and time, talking about identity theft, where people will get your social and people will get information about you and make purchases in your name that you can't pay for. Well, what happens is the devil steals who you're supposed to be and makes you into somebody else. And right now, we got some folk in here that need to be calling God for some help, because you've got some identity theft. The devil has taken your identity. You're not who you're supposed to be. See, I wish I had somebody that would pray with me this morning. See, what happens is, when you begin to act a fool and you know that that foolishness is not becoming of what's supposed to be called saints, the devil has stolen your identity. You better go get your license back. See, when I talk about being deformed means that you not don't look like what you're supposed to look like. See, but in Christ, we're supposed to be a new creation and holy and acceptable. Now, holy don't mean hellish. See, things of the past are supposed to be wiped away, and all things become new in the sight of God. You better take back what the devil has stolen from you. Because of what Christ did, his death removes what sin delivers, and it will renew what sin will deform. And then Christ's death will restore the things that sin has destroyed. See, when we look in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, it says that in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, and we should be complete in him. Now, the word restore means to reinstate, to reestablish, to bring back. And see, sin has destroyed our state and standing before God. But the Bible said that if we walk in the light, as he is the light, Then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sins. Now, right now, in order to take back what the devil has stolen from you, you got to have enough sense to realize that you're missing something. Y'all miss what I said. In order to recover what the devil has taken from you, you've got to be wise enough to admit that something ain't right. When you begin to act a fool, and that's not becoming of your character, you just say, Lord, something ain't right. What happens is see, the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sins. But let me tell you, the only way you can get your identity back is that you've got to say, somebody has stolen my identity. I know some of you in here think that everything is all right and think that it's all good. And this is the way people are supposed to live. 1 John chapter 1 says this. Big old word. If we confess our sins. In other words, if you'll admit that your identity has been stolen. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but I want it all back. Everything that the devil has taken from me, I want it all back. See, as we go through life, everyone that says they with you, listen to me, they ain't with you. Y'all don't believe that, do you? See, the devil will even take the identity of some of your friends and the one and your family members. And right now, God has taken some of everything that's so precious to us. He's taken our families. He's taken our children. He's taken our church members. And we sit here and act like everything is all right and I'm on my way to heaven anyhow. But go back to our text. See, I want us to read this thing in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And when you look in verse 9, it says, and David and the 600 men with him, they were taking out to chase after the enemy to take back what the devil had stolen from them. Amen. But it says in verse 9, it says, and David and the 600 men with him came to the Besor ravine where some stayed behind. Verse 10 says, for 200 men were too exhausted to cross the ravine. Now somebody here don't believe that the Lord will allow your enemy to be your footstool. See, let me tell you something. What happens is when we go through life and we start to take back what the devil stole from us, we are so lazy that we get tired and we stop. Now, if you look here in verse 9, there were 600 men that took out with David to go back to recapture what had been taken from them. Now, 200 of the men stopped by the ditch because they were too tired. And right now, some of us too tired to praise him, too tired to worship him. And God and the enemy is taking things from us daily, and we just sit back and let him have them. But then when we look here in verse 11, it says that they found in the field an Egyptian. And they fed him and they asked him, and said, now, where are you coming from? And he said that I was
once a slave, and my master left me here to die after we raided a village in Ziklag. And then David said, can you show me where these men are? Now let me tell you what happened. Sometimes the Lord will allow enemies to come into your life. Listen to me. And lead you back to the things that are rightfully yours. Read the story. This Egyptian that they found was originally with the ones that took the wives and the children. Now think about this. If an enemy had been identified in your life, what would you have done with him? You would have killed him. And so therefore, if they had killed the Egyptian, they never would have been able to find out where the things were that had been taken from them. And the story goes on. It says, and David said, now can you show me where they are? I could even draw you closer. Look at the Apostle Paul. The devil had stolen everything from him. He became a persecutor of the church. But on the Damascus Road, he was knocked down and he began to get it all back. But then when we look in the 17th verse of our text here, the man showed David where the enemies were. And he said that in a fault from dusk to the evening of the next day. And none of them got away except for 400 men who rode off on camels and fled. But let me tell you something. Some of us chasing after the wrong things. See, David had no need to chase after these few that got away. Because what happens is we major in the minors. The enemy will distract you and you won't even be able to recover what you really need back. Now read the story. And in verse 18 it says, David recovered everything that the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. And verse 19 says, nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl. David brought everything back. And God will let you take it all back if you're willing to fight for it. See, life is a battlefield. But the problem is, we say, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. But everybody don't want to fight. See, in order for you to get back what was taken from you, you got to learn to fight. See, we got some here this morning that are ready to share in the harvest, but don't ever want to work the fields. Now, go on, I ain't gonna leave you there. As you read the story, look in verse 21. This ain't nothing but word this morning. And in verse 21, we find where the 200 that were too tired to go on and fight. I want y'all to read the story. The 200 that were too tired to go on and fight, but they were there ready to shout the victory. Y'all missed that. See, we got some church folk that don't want to serve, that don't want to pay, but they'll beat you shouting the victory. Hey, hey. Read the story now. Is it in your Bible? Now, when they got back, and let me watch some of us now. Say, but now when they got back, some of the men said, we're not going to share with you what we got from our enemies. But David said, no, go ahead and share. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had been taken by the enemy and my daddy wouldn't come fight to get me back. Whew. Y'all missing this. See, these 200 men had wives and children that had been taken just like the other 400. And I can imagine when these folk were rescued, somebody was saying, I don't see my daddy. He didn't come fight for me. And right now, the enemy is taking things from us that's dear to us, and we're just like the 200 sitting by down by the ditch, not willing to go fight for the things that we cry about. However, I got to tell you, everybody ain't kind-hearted as David. You better claim what's yours. For see, when I look and think about that, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I thank God that he loved me so much that he provided a way for me to be restored back to him. He's given us a way to recover all that's been taken by the enemy. He provided what it took to remove what sin delivered. See, I'm so glad that God had a way to renew what sin had deformed. See, somewhere in your life, you didn't look like saints supposed to look. You wasn't acting like saints are supposed to act. But then God made a way for me to take it all back. Somebody said, what did he remove from me? But he took me out the hand of the enemy. He put me in the protection of his Father. Somebody said, Lord, keep me day by day. Anybody need the Lord to keep you? See, when you get Jesus to keep you, see, the devil can't take you out of his hand. See, right now, somebody needs to be shouting, Lord, I got identity theft. I want to take back everything that the enemy has stolen from me. Lord, I want my position back. See, when I get my position back, I can say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But see, when you don't have your position, weapons all around you are prospering because the devil has taken your protection. And see, right now, somebody ought to be saying, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. See, I'm more than a conqueror. I thank God I'm ready to take back what he stole from me. Anybody ready to fight what the devil has stolen from you? Anybody ready to take it back? We got to be ready to take your family's back. You got to be ready to take your relationships back. You got to be ready to take your children back. If you're sick, you got to be ready to take your health back. And right now, we got some churches that need to be taken back and put back where they belong. I'm glad that I'm ready and willing to fight for what's been taken. Somebody said, I'm on the battlefield working for the Lord. See, sometimes you gotta fight on the battlefield. But I've learned that I'll fight till I die. I'm glad this morning that I'm ready to take it back. I'm glad that I'm not out, but I'm in. I'm not down, but I'm up. I'm not broke, but I'm rich. I'm not sick, but I'm well. God is faithful right now, and I'm ready to take it all back. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to take back what the devil stole from you? Somebody saying, what did he take? He took your self-esteem. He took your pride. He took your dignity. He took your common sense. You're not acting like you're supposed to act because the devil took your persona. But you got to say, I'm going back. Take back what's rightfully mine. Restore my position back. Say, God, I want you to put me in the right places. And right now, you got to realize that God made you the head, not the tail. Are you ready? Are you ready? Anybody here ready to fight and take it back? I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. And one of these days, the general is going to call the house to order. Going to give it to me all back. Do you want to take it back? Do you want to take it back? Then you got to be willing to fight to take it back. It ain't going to walk back in your hand. You got to fight to take it back. See, the devil is a liar. The enemy came to steal your joy. He came to steal your peace. He came to steal your self-esteem. But right now, I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Hey, I'm ready to fight till I die. Somebody said, what you gonna fight with? I tell you, I got on a helmet. The devil can't take my mind because I got on a helmet of salvation. The devil can't take my heart because I got on a shield of righteousness. Right now, you can't take my peace because I got on shoes that give me peace and I walk in peace. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm a no-limit soldier. I'm not scared. Devil, get ready. Devil, get ready. There's a fight on your hand because I'm ready to take it back. Are you ready? Are you ready to take it back? You better kick that devil out your house. You better kick that devil out your life and take it back. Take it back. Take it back. Yeah. 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 See, I'm tired of being on the bottom. It's time for me to rise back up to the top. Take the place where God placed me. A power and dominion. Are you ready? Are you ready? Don't lie to me. Are you ready to take it back? You're talking about you a soldier. Soldiers gotta fight. Can't sit down by the ditch while somebody else is fighting. God will allow you to take it back. But you gotta be willing to fight for it. And you gotta admit that it's gone. God right now is willing and able to help you take back what the enemy has stolen from you. The invitation is given right now. Will there be one to come? It says, I'm ready to take back what's mine. See, right now, you hollering, you broke. The devil got your finances. The devil got your finances. You ain't got no joy. He got it. You don't have no, you miserable. You don't have no peace. The enemy has got it. But you got to be willing to take it back. How did he get your finances? You gave it to him. Will everyone to come right now? The invitation is given. Let's all stand.
Amen. Are you reaping the harvest that God promised you? You better take it back. You better take it back. If somebody had your money, you'd fight them, wouldn't you? You better fight this devil that's got your money too. Amen. Thank God for your presence. Don't forget this evening at 3 o'clock at Mount Olive. Yes, y'all, please try to meet us there. Also, don't forget on our Bible study on Wednesday night. Looking forward to see each and every one of you there as well. Just thank God for his faithfulness. And as we leave, I want to just tell you one thing. Don't take God for granted. He ain't supposed to do nothing. Amen. He ain't supposed to be do nothing. And I'm going to leave us like we did on Wednesday. I asked us Wednesday when we left, if everybody was just like me, what kind of church would my church be? Let's all stand. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for this worship experience. Thank you for the one that have come to worship this morning, God, in spirit and in truth. Father God, we pray that these words will not fall on deaf ears, for you said that this word will not come back to your void. Father God, we're praying right now that this word will fall on fertile ground and bring forth over and over and over again. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us all henceforth, now and forevermore. So I'll say amen.